I just love the scriptures. I don't know about you, but the more I grow in the Lord, the more I come to just desire the scriptures. Amen? They are like honey. The words of God are like honey. The word of God is like precious gold. It's like someone who fell upon great treasure and then went and told everybody about it. Like, look how much I've got. Look at the lottery I just won. And early on in our Christian lives, I think we look at the Bible as a duty sometimes, as just something we need to get through to be good Christians. And the more I get into this, I'm like, this is precious. This is not God. This is the words of God. But this is a precious gift. The Holy Scriptures are something that we just take for granted here in America. And so I had this on my heart. I wanted to just, in verse 14 of 2 Timothy 3, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it. Verse 15, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what do the Holy Scriptures do according to this passage? The Holy Scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation. These do not save me, but they make me wise so that I can get saved through faith in Jesus. The Holy Scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for what we're about to do here, for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It's a valuable tool that we have here. The Holy Scriptures make us, as servants of God, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped. So what this says to me is getting my nose in my Bible gets my mind straightened out so I can be thoroughly equipped. Why? To stay in my living room and study my scriptures? No, to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So I can go out and be filled with the knowledge of God and do this thing. So the scriptures correct me, they train me in righteousness. They're so helpful for that. You guys know this. Romans 15:4. The scriptures teach us endurance, it says. They provide encouragement and they give us hope, is what the passage says. 1 Peter 1:20 says that the scriptures were written by men who were carried along by the Holy Spirit. All scripture is God-breathed. So all of the words in this book were written by men who were carried by the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit wrote this book. It's an amazing thought. John 5:39, all of the scriptures testify about Jesus. Remember, he says, you search the scriptures diligently. They all testify about me. John 10:35 says, scripture cannot be broken, ever. It's easier for all of the heavens of the earth to pass away than one jot or tittle to fall out of the law. There's nothing that can be broken about the word of the Lord. Luke 24:32 and 45 says, the scriptures can be opened to us only through and by Jesus. When he walked on that road to Emmaus with them and he unlocked their minds. The only way I can understand scripture is by Jesus revealing it to me. Did you know that? It's impossible to go search, because I could be an atheist to know the Bible back and forth. There's a lot that do. I could be a professor, not a Christian, and know the Bible really well. The only one who would unlock the scriptures to me, though, is Jesus. And so this is why we pray, Lord, open my eyes that I can behold the wonders of your word. You need Jesus to help you understand the scriptures. So therefore, when you go to the scriptures, you need to go with Jesus. Did you know you can go to the scriptures without going with Jesus? You can go to just get information. Jesus has to be right in the middle with you on these pages, unlocking words about himself. Acts 17:2, Paul reasoned with them from the scriptures, meaning the scriptures are our source of reason and logic. Everything scientific in the scriptures backed up. Every bit of reason, every bit of logic backed up by the scriptures, supported, undergirded by the scriptures. And 1 Timothy 4:13 is one that I've not spent a lot of time on, but I've been increasingly convinced of lately. Until I come, Paul says, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to preaching and teaching. I don't do sometimes a lot of public reading of scripture because sometimes I'm more interested in letting y'all or letting other people know my opinions about what the scripture says. And that's a problem. Not that my opinions are a problem, but when we neglect letting the scripture speak for itself and interpret what it says, that's an unbalanced way to look at it. And this is something it's just hitting me right in the face right now. So you know what we did this last week at house church? Who's in my house church here? Raise your hand if you go to my house church. Look, they're all in the back. Okay, so in my house church, what we did was I said we're going to devote ourselves to the public reading of scripture. There is a powerful blessing in the book of Revelation. There's a quadruple blessing in the book of Revelation. Did you know that? Before we go there, did you know that Psalms 138 says that God has exalted above all things his name and his word? And it actually says that he's exalted his word above his name in the scriptures. Amazing thought that the Lord would take the words from his mouth and put them above his name. What does that mean? How could anything be higher than the name of the Lord? The word of the Lord will not be broken. So when we read the word of the Lord, we're doing a high and a holy thing. We're actually saying the God of the universe, past, present, and future, who is the I Am, wrote a book, and he speaks through this book, and now we're going to read what he has to say to us in this book. So please don't take it lightly when we read passages together. We're going to do that. But if you flip to Revelation chapter 1, I shared this Wednesday. It's an amazing, there's no other book like Revelation. I'm going to share the word out of it this morning. But there's a quadruple blessing that we get just by reading this book, listening to this book. Revelation 1, 3 says this: blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it. And blessed are those who take to heart what is written in it. Why? Because the time is near. Keep your finger there and go all the way to the end of the book, Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 7. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. So here's the fourfold blessing. The blessing for the one who reads it aloud, the blessing for the one who hears it, the blessing for the one who takes it to heart, and a blessing for the one who does it. So this is how this works this morning. If you're not in a mood to do the word of the Lord, to obey his word, you're still going to be blessed if you take it to heart this morning. If you've got a hardened heart and you're not able or willing to take the word of the Lord into your heart this morning, you're still going to be blessed if you have ears to hear what I'm about to read. If you don't have ears to hear, then I'm going to be blessed by reading it out loud, and you can be blessed by reading under your breath if you want to, because we're not all going to read it together this morning. But at house church on Wednesday, I said, there's this fourfold blessing, so we're going to let the word of the Lord speak for itself. So for 45 minutes, we went around, everybody took a couple of verses, I think 20-some people or so read a couple of verses apiece, and we went through chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. And we stopped at the end of every chapter, and we just went back and talked about, what did the Spirit highlight to you in this passage? Well, you know what happened? The Spirit brought conviction to some people, revelation to other people. He soothed some fears in other people. And there were little bits of encouragement that came up. We got like 10 sermons out of chapter 1, and none of them were for me. Same thing for chapter 2. Same thing for chapter 3. The word of the Lord is powerful. It divides soul and spirit. So when we let the word do what it's supposed to do, powerful things happen. I'm not going to take 45 minutes this morning and read chapter 1 through 3, but we might someday. I don't know. I'm becoming increasingly convinced of this.